NewsBiscuit. Real fake news.
Welcome to NewsBiscuit, the UK's original fake news. NewsBiscuit, the last place you'd think of looking. I'm your host, Renfo, and we may be facing a CO2 shortage, but not with tonight's panel. We have Stanley Miseru.
Hello.
We have Ron Corleone.
Evening, NewsBiscuiters.
Chase.
Good evening.
And Ant Harrison.
Good evening.
This month, the government insists we return to imperial measurements, making a pint, a mile, and 3.5 grams, an eighth of weed. So that brings us to our first round, News in Brief, where our panelists select their favourite headlines, which will then be plagiarised by the Daily Mash. Ant Harrison, what do you have for us?
Do you want my first headline or several?
Just go through them all. Don't worry, no one's going to laugh after any of them, so you could just rattle through.
Okay. Well, my favourite was Clive Sinclair dies age ZX81.
Oh, yeah.
I had a ZX81 with the 16K wrapper, on which I completed my master's degree in computational physics. I'll have you know.
You completed a master's on a ZX Spectrum. Is that a thing?
not in Word. It was writing programs.
Oh, okay. I just have images of sort of manic miner sort of leaping around in the PhD thesis.
Canine genital mutilation. And I was thinking of some sort of, some vet pointed some trophy on his mantelpiece and says, that trophy up there, says, it really is the dog bollocks.
See, I didn't know where that was going because that started quite bleak, I'll be honest. When you start with animal mutilation, you're going to go, please let there be a punchline, rather than just some. I describe the NewsBiscuit listeners as they're quite broad-minded, but animal mutilation, it's not normally their thing.
And the final one is TV first, as pathologist gives precise time of death.
No, that's very good. I mean, yeah, the pathologists are lousy in murder mysteries. I think you'd have to be bludgeoned to death with a grandfather clock.
I was thinking of a pathologist sort of trying to organise a wedding service between 10 a.m. 6 p.m. Wedding breakfast between 2 p.m. and 9 p.m.
Yes, nice. Stanley, what have you got?
Imports of red tape cut by increased border bureaucracy.
I mean, Brexit's the gift that keeps giving, isn't it, in terms of the community? Fuel shortages, isn't it? That's a Brexit thing, the last 24 hours.
No, not according to Grant Shapps, it's not.
Oh, he says there's plenty of petrol where he is.
Yeah, plenty of petrol, yeah.
That's because he got heads up and he's been hoarding it.
he says it's because of COVID.
Oh, what? Because what, we're snorting it? No,
what? Yeah, drinking it, I don't know, making stuff out of it. Yeah, he reckons it's because of COVID.
Is it a COVID cure?
You must be reading my script here. I've got something along those lines later on.
Oh, excellent. Right, well, I'll edit out my my comment that was foresightful and make it look like yours was spontaneous later on. Yeah. We'll cut all this bit.
Unattended PM on nursery visit eats crayons and smears own feces on face.
Boris has set such a low bar, hasn't he?
Yeah,
that if he did that, our reaction would be like a sort of a parent to a small child. We'd actually be quite encouraging. We'd be like, I see white shit all over his face. Yeah, well done. Oh, look at him, clever boy.
Definite signs of an improvement.
Parents threaten to go on strike unless school uniforms are nationalised. And that follows a report that the amount spent on uniforms this year exceeded NASA's annual budget.
Speaking of somebody who's got younger children, you always do this kind of negotiation with your kids at the start of the new academic term, where they come downstairs wearing their uniform, which blatantly doesn't fit. And you're telling them, yeah, no, darling, it's got 2 or 3 years left in it. You'll be fine. And they all go to school looking like the Incredible Hulk, you know, the seams all splitting, the sheer embarrassment as you as a parent just trying to brazen it out for another term.
The phrase is very true. The phrase is, you'll grow into it.
Yes. And this should be a apocryphal story, but it's not. It's true. When I was young, I used to fall over quite a lot as a little kid. And so I was always getting holes in my trousers. And my parents couldn't afford to keep replacing my trousers. So my mum kept sort of sewing on sort of new kind of patches on the knees. But again, I'd fall over, I'd go through the patches. And then one week, she sewed one of the iron metal sort of scouring pads that you have on the kitchen.
What a brilliant idea.
Yeah, one of those. She sewed one in, thinking that obviously I'm not going to be able to cut through that. And it's true, I didn't. But it didn't mean when I fell, there were sort of sparks shooting up as I fell across the ground. True story. Genuine true story. The hardship I lived through.
Jeremy Clarkson suggested that to make drivers be more careful, that an airbag should be replaced by a titanium spike. And I think that may fall broadly into that category.
One last one, which is the RSC is to inoculate against Coriolanus.
Excellent. Love a pun. Right then. Chip Chase, follow that.
Author writes novel that isn't part of a series. US lawyers ask Emma Raducanu to serve Prince Andrew's court documents.
Oh, wow. That's dangerous, Chip Chase, because I don't know what you're suggesting there. And I can definitely say Newsbiscuit isn't suggesting it. No. It is just you.
We might have our royal crest withdrawn.
Yeah, none of us are implying in any way whatsoever that Prince Andrew has a predilection for tennis champions.
He likes a game of golf, though.
Yeah. Right. Okay. there's all kinds of puns I could say off the back of that. Oh, yes, none of them.
I've got four
of them. Get away with right now. Right.
Jacob Rees-Mogg gets third COVID job due to underlying wealth conditions.
How wealthy is he? Is he the wealthiest? Well, wealthy. All right. Yeah. I mean, relative to
allegedly.
Us. But I mean, is he one of the wealthiest of the Conservative MPs, or does he just like to give off the vibe that he sort of owns Somerset? He looks like old money. I think that's the phrase, isn't it? He looks like old money.
He also looks like Gussie Finknuttle from Bertie Wooster's rather.
And smells like mothball, I imagine. That's the other thing.
OED announces the collective noun for lorry drivers, a new one, ALAC.
Oh, yeah. Excellent, that one, Chip. Excellent. Seen that. Yeah, brilliant, that one. Okay, Ren, I've got a couple here for you. First one is very well put together. Labour leader reinvents himself with IKEA furniture range. And as I said...
As we go out now, the Labour conference is going on, isn't it? And I just feel sorry for whoever writes Keir Starmer's speeches, because you're starting with a blank page, aren't you? And you're desperately looking around for content. And there is none. There is no policy.
There's more life in an urgent note than there is in that man. I despair with him.
His only policy seems to be, I will do things more efficiently than Boris Johnson, which ironically is also Boris Johnson's policy as well. Boris gets up every morning and looks in the mirror and goes, well, I've got to be better than Boris Johnson today.
Lack of HGV drivers blamed on Yorkie shortage.
You have to be of a certain age to appreciate that. Was it in the 80s they had it was a series of chocolate adverts related to drivers. That I think that was in order to stop the misapprehension that all lorry drivers were serial killers.
New TV satire show entirely for snowflakes. That was the woke that was.
Very good.
Man likes Tom Daly, but prefers Keira Knightley.
What was the one I spotted the other day? That anti-vaxxer stays healthy, frustrating social media users hoping for ironic death. I think that speaks to the utter bleakness of the human soul. Each episode, I ask one of our guests to tell us a little bit about themselves so we can breach GDPR. This month, Ant Harrison is going to be sharing one of his favourite stories from the Newsbiscuit archive. Ant, is it just knob gags you're looking for, or is there something more?
No, I often look for a tit gags as well. As far as I can recall, I joined Newsbiscuit in 2006. There's a guy called Neil Doran who wrote a number of very, very funny stories. One of them was at the conclusion of the peace process in Northern Ireland. It's about the daily life of Gerry Adams. And it says, is it just me or has service got worse recently? Not realising the enormous power that he wielded and how quickly it dissipated. And people don't laugh at his jokes anymore. I mean, the Troubles is an understatement about a civil war that lasted 30 years.
Yeah, the Troubles sounds like something you go to the doctor. Involves a dicky tummy, really.
Yeah, the coast of Swansea, the Mumbles. Have you been to the Troubles? Oh, yes, we had a lovely time there. Yeah.
It's such a wonderful sort of understatement, the Troubles. It's in World War II, just call it a little bit of a Barney. it doesn't seem as impressive. Our next round is True Biscuit, where our panel has to guess which are the real headlines and which ones are the fake ones. So we're going to start with Stanley.
Priest claims evil demons have figured out how to send threatening text messages.
So is the implication being that these demons have always had mobile phones, but have only now just worked out how to use them? Demons essentially just kind of elderly parent, and they don't know how to sort of operate it. So what is he receiving the messages then?
Well, I presumed at first it was the next step after running call centres, but he doesn't mention that. It's targeting high-value people, and it's high-ranking, powerful demons doing them.
And are they signing their names off? So do you get sort of LOLs signed Beelzebub, devil emojis, and, you know, is there an exorcism that you could do on a mobile phone? I mean, surely you just do what anyone else does, switch it on and off again, or take out the SIM card. You could put the phone in water, you could drown it, I guess.
Yeah.
Unless it's one of the newer phones, which is water resistant. So it's high-powered people who've been complaining to this priest. That's interesting that they immediately assume it's devil sending it, not, you know, a mate having a bit of a laugh, calling themselves Lucifer. It actually speaks to the guilt within the rich and the powerful, actually, that they've committed so many evil acts that they automatically assume that it's Satan coming for them, as opposed to someone just kind of, you know, pulling their leg a little bit.
Why text messages? Why not WhatsApp or Twitter? Text messages are really sort of analog era. Yeah.
And Twitter, I mean, I go on Twitter, but Twitter is a place of evil. I mean, Twitter does smell like sulfur. if I was a demon and there is a final layer of this, you know, fiery pit, yeah, Twitter's definitely in it. And you know, what's wrong with the old school ways of contacting a person?
A small plane flying a banner across.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
A big sign on a roundabout.
Your hour of judgment is at hand, something.
Yeah, but please contact me.
How could you?
I love you, marry me, and roast in eternity.
Yeah. True.
True, because you've had these texts yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, Chase? I have. I get them all the time.
Yeah, yeah, and we know why. It's not that you're innocent. Come on. No, yeah,
I've been a sinner.
I think it's true
because. Because you're guilty as Jim Chase.
We're in it together.
Ron.
Well, being a disciple of the late great Irish comedian Dave Allen, I'm convinced it's totally true.
Yeah, Ron is particularly gullible, clearly. Okay, Stanley, should we all be worried? Is Satan coming for us via our mobile phone, or are we safe to browse?
It is indeed true.
It's true?
Yeah.
What?
He's got a book out, Diary of an American Exorcist.
No!
Yes.
What? No, that guy, what? It's what? And there's a book. And there's like evidence and there's screenshots and no. Well, I'm now scared because, you know, I don't believe in the devil, but I do believe in iPhones, which is almost the same thing.
It's a similar sort of thing.
It's the same thing, except that
the devil's cheaper.
Yeah. And the devil doesn't have suicide nets in hell. Ron, what have you got?
Wait and husband panics as wife gets in wrong vehicle in a retail car park.
Is it a retail car park, Ron, or is it a dogging area?
Well,
let's be honest, because we've all been there.
It may be of a nice, but it was where Debenhams was at the time. Well, it said in the paper, the North Wales Gazette.
Now, are you making up a newspaper now? Yeah, is that made up? They don't read in North Wales. Yeah, stop pretending that they do.
He's good. Double bluff.
What does this fictitious newspaper tell us then, Rod?
It's the North Wales Gazette, right? Apparently, this man's wife got out of the car to take some pair of shoes, it said in the paper, by the roving reporter, Lucy, whatever her name was. Anyway, he sees his wife come back out after a couple of minutes. Anyway, she starts veering towards another silver-coloured vehicle. But in this case, it's just a small hatchback.
I imagine there are a lot of wives that fantasise about making a break for freedom. Or maybe it was when she went into shop and she should have, in the process of exchanging these shoes, she thought she could also exchange husbands. And she was just going for an upgrade in the car park.
She opens the door and then gets in the car and, to quote, starts saying, "Well, that was all right, wasn't it? I got me money back," talking to the man who was already in there. And this is gospel. This is in the North Wales Gazette.
Yes, which we all know would never lie to us. I like the idea. I see. It's a shame that you said that you should get got into the car door normally, because when you said it was a hatchback, I just had this wonderful image of her just climbing straight into the boot. I don't care.
Ending up in Narnia.
Yeah, I'll just go to the boot. That must be a slow news day, even for North Wales, right there.
I think it was the day the goats rampaged through the town of Llandudno.
Well, I think we know the name of the paper and the level of detail. No, I mean, it's written by Lucy, whatever her name is. So I think that level of detail, it's got to be true.
Undoubtedly true. I mean, anything that that involves North Wales must be true.
Well, I'm going to go against the tide here, because I think that's a masterstroke of deception and subterfuge there. I don't think this paper exists.
Go on then. Put us out of misery, everyone. True or false? Oh, you're muted. You've muted yourself there. You've muted yourself.
And I'm not bombshell.
The truth is so shocking. He can't tell us. He's muted himself.
You can't handle the truth.
You've got to press the unmute button there. We'll never know the truth of this. He's stuck on
mute. Oh, yeah.
Okay. True or false?
We're ready to go.
Yeah.
Well, I have to be honest. It's true. It nearly happened. And it was my wife.
This is a personal story.
Yeah.
Goodness me, this is human interest. That's why people read newspapers.
Autobiographical.
Did you ever get the wife back again, or did you just think, actually, it's for the best? We've had a good 20 years.
That's another story for the next episode.
Okay. Chip Chase, what have you got?
Sunglasses were designed for Chinese judges to hide their facial expressions.
What?
Sunglasses. Sunglasses were designed for Chinese judges to hide their facial expressions.
They do know sunglasses only cover eyes. I mean, unless these sunglasses are huge, like the ones, like novelty ones that kids have on the beach.
Yes.
What are they judging? What are they judging that it matters so much?
I thought that, but I think it's to do with when they're sort of, they don't want to belie their emotions when they're speaking to witnesses and defendants and stuff like that.
Oh!
They want to be inscrutable.
Oh, that's such what a flake I am. When you said judges, I automatically assumed it was like Britain's Got Talent.
Oh, yes.
But you mean it's judges in a court of law?
As in, court of law judges, yeah.
Oh, that speaks to my own innate prejudices, doesn't it?
These seats didn't spin around either, apparently. It's just, you know.
Please tell me that in China they also wear the wigs. Because the wigs plus the sunglasses is a bold look.
Dragon, big dragon masks, I think it is, and sunglasses.
I reckon it's so they don't notice they've gone to sleep. Couldn't not cut both ways? Could like witnesses wear sunglasses to hide their emotions? Are you telling the truth? Well, let me just put my sunglasses on first, and then you can judge. And I like to think that their sunglasses wasn't the first thing that they came up with, that there was a little brainstorming session when they went through other kind of things they could wear on their face to distract, like big clown noses, those glasses with the eyes on the springs that go up and down.
I think it's got to be false.
I think if a judge wanted to hide his identity, he will probably extend to a full welder's mask. I will go false.
Yes, there's nothing more off-putting than being sent down for 20 years and someone's doing some soldering. Stanley, you've been on trial many a time. Did at any point did you see judges with sunglasses? Is this true or false?
No, I think the only person who wears sunglasses indoors is Bono, so I'm going to say no.
Cast your mind back, or cast yourself back to the year 1430, a court in China. Absolutely true.
Oh, hold on, 1430?
1430.
They had sunglasses in 1430.
They probably had the sort of the early version.
Some was only published in 1964.
Early versions of sunglasses. I mean, if you said the 1800s said early versions of sunglasses, I'd be, fine. But 1430. My relatives were still painted blue and they hadn't discovered fire yet in 1430.
Maybe a little bit of coloured glass or something. I don't know. But true.
No, it's not true. Go back and look again at the article, Chase. It can't be true.
Now, funny you should say that, because I have it here. Hang on a minute.
I choose not to believe that one.
They were a crude slab of smoked quartz. It was made to block out the light from the sun.
No.
The primitive frames are roughly shaped, blah, 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 blah.
No, yes, you're blowing my mind. Stop it. I now don't understand civilization and how it's evolved. How can we get sunglasses before we get so many other significant inventions?
I think they might be being economical with the truth in terms of calling them sunglasses, but they're obviously something.
They're just hiding by the large rock and calling it a sunglasses. And Your story, please.
Okay. On the day that the Second World War broke out, what was the headline in the Leith Gazette? I'll give you two options. One is giant turnip found in Leith. Or the second is World War II breaks out, local man involved.
Yes, that's the height of special interest reporting.
Local journalism at its best.
Yeah, yeah. There's a world war, but it has affected one of our locals.
Choose carefully.
The other one was a turnip. That could have triggered the World War, I suppose. I mean, I guess that could have been their argument. Like Archduke Ferdinand, Nazi Germany getting riled up by the fact that a turnip had a leaf, was it? A turnip that had a leaf.
No leaf.
Was found in leaf.
Edinburgh Port.
Oh, okay. Oh, well, that's much more plausible than a turnip having a leaf. yeah, okay. I mean, guys, what are we thinking about those things? I mean, what?
Well, I'm leaning heavily towards the local man involved because this is a local paper and they like a local, bit of local interest, don't they?
Is the local man Adolf Hitler?
I'm going with that one.
Something's drawing me towards the turnip. Can't tell you what it is, but something is.
It's the eroticism of a turnip. It's got all the curves of a lady, but about 12.
Well, I think just for the sheer audacity of it, I've got to go with the turnip.
Giant turnip.
No.
did they actually still print a story about the Second World War, or did they just not bother? They just thought people are going to be so blown away with the turnip story and so traumatized by it, they won't be able to process the fact that there's a Second World War kicking off.
3rd of September, 1944, was it?
Yeah.
Five. Can you not remember when the turnip was found, Dan? Can you not? That is terrible.
Giant turnip found in Leith. Yeah.
Giant turnip found in Leith. Oh, what an age to live through.
Brackets and bit of Barney going on in Europe.
I think for me, Ran, what convinced me was when Ant mentioned the Gazette, and anything mentioned face the wall out of any type of Gazette is usually true.
Yeah, we've learned this now. Finally, we ask our panel to hold and cough the magic eight ball. Each of our guests is going to give us their predictions for next month's news, and I award bonus points if they don't mention COVID.
Dominic Raab appointed as Deputy PM. Gavin Williamson appointed as Deputy Dog.
Yes.
He has got that kind of hangdog look about him because he's got the dirt on everyone. They can't get rid of him, but he's so wondrously inept. Yeah, he's almost like a character. He's a Frank Spencer kind of off-cut.
I think that the UK-US trade deal talks are going to break down again because the UK is going to say, you can have Andrew, but we don't want Harry back, thanks.
Oh, yeah, there could be a lot of brinkmanship in terms of who we want and who they want. I mean, I don't want James Corden back. They get to keep James Corden.
I've noticed this is a theme in your work, Ren.
It is. And I'm sure he's lovely. You're multi-talented. Well, I say that. He's got a very good agent. He's got an exceptional agent. He just seems to be on everything. Yeah, in that sense, he is the COVID of the arts industry. Have we got any dozy American celebs over here that we want to send back?
I'm sure we must.
See, I can't think of any. I suspect we are mainly an exporter of dreadful people rather than an importer.
Goldblum, is he called?
Sorry, Ant, what was that one?
Jeff Goldblum.
Is he over here, Jeff? This is like a strange kind of Brexit conversation where we're trying to chuck people out the country, but we're just going for a very small... So people with equity cards, basically, and no one else.
If Jeff Goldblum has got an HGV license, he is more than willing to stay.
Yeah, very true. Rod?
Matt Hancock is to leave politics and join MI6 to become department head for top secret affairs.
Foreign lorry drivers to spearhead government's battle against COVID. The fact that nobody else seems to be suffering the same way seems to have slipped their mind.
But it's nice, though, but it must be nice for the politicians to have multiple things they could potentially blame on that.
Well, they do that. I mean, they've had a fallback for about the past 15 years with the previous government. They fall back on that all the time.
Yeah, you can play that card for a long time, can't you?
And they're still going strong, that one.
Yes, I blame Attlee. No, I blame the Four War.
No, I say, yes.
I blame the Reformation.
Pitt the Younger, he's to blame, yeah.
And that brings us to the end of this episode. And I can reveal that this month's winner is anyone suspended from the Labour Party. I'd like to thank our panel, Chip Chase.
Thank you very much.
Danny Mizuru.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Ron Corleone.
Gracias.
And Ant Harrison.
Hello. Oh, booker.
And I leave you with these headlines. Burial plots can now be paid for using cryptocurrency. Alpaca reincarnated as Dalai Lama.
Yeah.
And government argues over helium production. Raised voices yes, heard.
I loved that one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
You've been listening to News Biscuit, free to read and free to write for. We accept submissions from any budding satirist, young or old. Visit newsbiscuit.com to submit headlines, stories, and to support new writers.
News Biscuit. Real fake news.
You're going to love this tonight, or not.
You want one or the other.
Well, I brought a drink anyway, so.
Well, yes, very well. Sensible. Very sensible. Yes, well. Just dull the pain as much
just
as you can.
Just mud in your eye.
We all confusingly have different names up on our screen, some names we're going to be calling each other tonight. And that adds to the little bit of sort of the dementia that I think News Biscuit sort of brushes up against.
Not me.
Yeah, no, Ant Harrison, you're just giving us your bank details. You don't care.
I've got it on email, scan it, Grindr, you name
excellent, excellent. Consistency. Because when it comes to the court case, you want to make it nice and easy for the police. Oh, no.